Well, take your Bibles tonight, Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. I sure appreciate you being at church on a Wednesday night. And Lord's good to let us have a church that still has Wednesday night services. And I don't know about you, but the Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. And if the devil has his hand in it, he'll do the opposite and take away services instead of give services. He doesn't want us to be in church. And by the way, it's hard to be the Christian you should be one day a week. Amen. By the way, most Sunday morning messages are geared to lost people. They should be. They're salvation messages. And if you're already saved, you're going to die a spiritual death if you don't come back Sunday night, where pastor usually preaches on some meat, and Wednesday night some more meat. And we need that to keep our physical, not our physical bodies in shape, but what? Our spiritual bodies in shape. And so, matter of fact, the Bible says that you can be fit for the kingdom. That simply means to be ready to go. And a matter of fact, the Bible says, any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom. There's that word fit. I don't like that word when we talk about it physically. But spiritually, we ought to be fit. And so I thank you for being here. Commend you to be here. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. We're going to read quite a few verses here. And I want you to get the story. And kind of the background to this is that Nehemiah and some of the children, or the Jewish people, are building, rebuilding the wall. Remember, Ezra went in, rebuilt the temple. And now Nehemiah saw heard that the walls were burnt and down and the gates thereof. And so he gets permission from King Artaxerxes. And, of course, Nehemiah being the cupbearer of Artaxerxes. And so we see that here he comes. And by the way, Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was not a prophet. He was not a priest. He was a layman. All he was a servant. By the way, to serve God, you don't have to be called into the ministry to be a pastor, a missionary, or whatever it may be. Each Christian, when you get saved, are called into the ministry, so to speak, to do the Lord's work. And that's why we're here tonight, is to do the Lord's work and to do His will. Now look at verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there were no more breaches left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates." Okay? So that's the only thing left, and we'll look at that here in a minute. It says that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, "Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." I love that. "But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort." By the way, five times is going to be all together, that they're going to send unto him and say, "Why don't you come meet with us?" And let's look at what Nehemiah says again. And he says, "I answered in them after the same matter." What was that? No. And then verse 5 says, "And Sanballat, his servant unto him, unto me in like matter, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand." Now that open letter, if you study that out a little bit, you'll realize the open letter was something that would have been given to a king. It would have been given to an officer. That letter, but after he read that letter, he would have opened it, sent it back with a messenger to go back unto them. And when that letter was opened, it meant the king had already read it, and there was a decree that had been made about whatever that letter had said. And so now they come back with this open letter and say, "Well, look, the king has already read this, and you're in trouble now." We'll read that here in a little bit. Notice what it says. In verse 6, it says, "Wherein was written, it is reported." This is CNN News among the heathen. "And Geshemu saith it." This is the gossiper. "Thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words." So the word on the street was, or the word on CNN was, it was not fair and balanced. So some of y'all get that later. So the Jerusalem News Herald reported that the only reason that Nehemiah was building this wall is that he wanted to be a king, and that he wanted to take the Jewish people that were come out of the remnant people that had come out, and he was going to start a new society with them. They were scared about this. And so anyway, going down, it says in verse 7, "Thou hast appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now it shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together." We need to go and get this settled. Verse 8 says, "And then I sent unto him, saying, There is no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou friendest them out of thine own heart." He says, you come up with this yourself. And verse 9 says, "For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it may be done. Now therefore, O God," notice what Nehemiah says. By the way, Nehemiah never asked God to take away his enemies. Not one time do you ever see Nehemiah praying that God would take away his enemies. Notice what he said. He said, "God, strengthen my hands." By the way, sometimes we pray too much of God, get us out of this, instead of God, strengthen us through this. Now, obviously, the prayer we like to pray a lot of times is, "God, get me out of this mess I got myself into," right? But sometimes God puts us through a trial and we're like, "God, get me out of here. I don't want to be in it." We pray like Paul, and God says, "No, I'm not going to get you out of here. I'll just give you grace." And notice he said, "Strengthen my hands." And afterwards, I came unto the house of Shemaiah and the son of Deliah, and the son of Metabil, who was shut up. And he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple." By the way, it was illegal for them to go into the temple and be in there. Only the priest was allowed in there. So this guy's trying to get him in trouble. He tried to say, "Hey, why don't we go to the temple and let's shut up in there so we'll be protected in there." But the law of the land is that only the priest and the high priest are allowed to go into the temple at that time. So read on down. He says, "For they will come and slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." A hired prophet. False prophet. Verse 13. "Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so, and sin." That's what he's talking about, and sin, going into the temple. "And that they might have matter for evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these words, these works, and on the prophetess Noniah, and the rest of all the prophets, that they would have put me in fear." I like verse 15, though. All this goes on, and Nehemiah's going through a tough time. By the way, he's right at the end of building this wall. This wall is almost done. I mean, we're talking about, this is the 51st day. All he's got to do is go out there, pick the doors up, put them on the hinges, and he's done. By the way, the devil works harder toward the end than he does in the beginning a lot of times, doesn't he? When he sees the very time of your life where you're going to be the most effective, that's when he steps in and he tries to get a hold of you. And the same is true with Nehemiah here. But I like verse 16 because Nehemiah goes through all this, and then it says, well, so the walls were finished in 20 and 50 days of the month of Elul, and the 50 and 2 days. 52 days. "And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were right about us saw these things, and were as much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God." Well, I'll give you the title real quick. It's kind of a funny title. I preached on this many, many years ago. Say no, or oh no, can't go to oh no. I wrote it down for them back there. I'll say it again. Oh no, can't go to oh no. Remember the name of the little town he wanted to go to in verse 2? He said, "I want you to come down and come into the plain of oh no." And remember what Nehemiah told him? He said, "No, I'm not going to oh no." And what tonight I want us to talk about the subject of this saying no to oh no, but really the topic is what pulls you away. There are things in this life that pull me and you away, and we have to learn to say that word. No. I cannot come down because this is a great work. By the way, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. I ask you to bless tonight, God. I yield myself to you, to your word, to your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would just do a work as only you can. Speak to our hearts now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I want to give you three things about Satan. Number one, as a serpent, he comes to deceive. We see that in Genesis chapter 3. As a serpent, he comes to deceive. He wants to deceive you, wants to trick you. And as a lion, he wants to come and devour you. Hello, he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. But as a person, Satan comes to distract you. See, you say, well, as a person, what do you mean? Satan uses people. And in this story, Satan used Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem as a tool by which to distract Nehemiah. By the way, sometimes it's not the devil's will to come and to totally annihilate you. Sometimes it just gets you distracted. You ever hear pastors say he gets distracted very easy? Squirrel? For 30 minutes today, we chased a squirrel in this very auditorium. I have video to prove it. We almost left him in here so we could have a revival. Anybody ever heard that song? That day the squirrel went berserk in the First Upright Church, sleepy little town of Pascagoola. Anyway, it's a Ray Stevens song. You had to look that up. But, you know, so I'm in my office studying for this message today, and all of a sudden Chad calls me frantically. Hey, we need your help. I'm like, oh, who's bleeding? Something's broke. There's a squirrel in the auditorium. Can you help us get it out? Well, yeah. So for 30 minutes, I was distracted today. I didn't say no to my co-part, right? I came and we were distracted. It was fun, by the way. I got my exercise in today. We chased that thing around here. And we may have used some of y'all's blankets. We do apologize for that. They were folded back up and the blood was taken off of them by a wet wipe. I'm just kidding. But isn't it so easy to get distracted? By the way, the problem we have in America today is not drinking and driving anymore. It's not the most dangerous driver anymore. It's people who are what? Distracted. Whether they're distracted by a phone, whether they're distracted by a radio, whether they're distracted by distractions. I mean, you know, when we was coming here, a cop came over the center line. I looked and he was looking at his phone. There you go. I mean, like, come on. You know? Yeah, I started to pull him over. Citizen's arrest on that one. That'd been fun. But I was on my way to church. But it's so easy to get distracted in today's society. But what is the story of Nehemiah about? It's about three things. It's about a burden that Nehemiah got in chapter 1 and verse 4. We see that the people had come and he had a burden to go. And the second thing we see that it's about building. He wanted to go and rebuild the walls. The temple had already been rebuilt. And now he's building the walls to protect this temple and protect God's people. And this was very important in this day. It kept out the enemies. And by the way, these walls wasn't just little baby walls. These were huge walls at this time. And they were very thick walls. And they were there so people could walk over the top of these walls and protect their towns. And this story is about building. By the way, anytime you're going to do something for God, Satan's going to try to get in there. Every time we have a building project around here, he shows up. Every time. I can take a shovel, put it in my hand, walk out that in the back there, and Satan comes quickly. I'm telling you. Because I'm going to put that shovel down, and I'm going to hit a water line. I don't care if I'm out in the middle of the train tracks over there, I'm going to hit a water line. Amen. Ask Chad. Brother Chad, man, I mean, we spend more time fixing water lines than anything. Or broken this or broken that. It's amazing how when you try to build something for God, I'm not just talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. You try to build your Sunday school class, Satan's going to come and he's going to work against that. You come and you try to build your family, you try to build your marriage, you try to build your career at your job godly. I'm telling you, Satan's going to swoop in and he's going to try to attack. The third thing we see about this story is that it's about battling. By the way, if you're going to be anything for Christ, you're going to battle for it. I don't believe Christ gives anything away easily to us. Because there is an appreciation of things that we have to stand for. By the way, the Christian life's not easy. By the way, it's told throughout the Scripture, as Christ suffered, so you're going to suffer. As Christ was put to shame, you're going to be put to shame. As Christ, as a matter of fact, it says that we have fellowship in His sufferings, in the sufferings of Christ. And this story is a great story for me and you tonight, because we're not talking about a preacher. We're talking about just a regular old layman who had a burden to build and to battle. I love this story because I love what it says about those who build. It said they had a weapon in one hand and a trowel in the other. This was not friendly territory they were in. By the way, Satan did not want this to happen. I want to give you three things tonight, I believe, that is true in the life of Nehemiah that we see here in this story. Three things. Number one, his discernment for distractions. His discernment for distractions. I want you to look at verse 2, if you will, of chapter 6. It says that, I love this, the way that it's worded in our Bible. It says in verse 2, it says, "Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me." By the way, the first time that that these people came in chapter 2, it was just Sanballat and Tobiah. Now this last time, when the walls are almost built, it's not just Sanballat and Tobiah. Now it's Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and then notice what it says, "and all the enemies." Satan's pouring it all now. But notice what it says, that here's the discernment of Nehemiah. He says, "Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But notice what Nehemiah says. He says, "But they thought to do me what? Mischief." Nehemiah, through the Holy Spirit of God, through his common sense, basically, God sense, is that God allowed him to see that this was not a truthful thing. Go over to verse 12. We see that he says again, he says, "And lo, I perceive." That word "perceive" is another word that we would use for discernment. He said, "I perceive that God had not sent him." He's talking about the false prophet. He says, I discerned that this distraction was not of God. By the way, some distractions in life are of God. Sometimes God has to get our attention sometimes to get us to realize really what we're doing. And so you got to have discernment about distractions. Is this God trying to distract me? By the way, think of Philip. Philip going about his day. All of a sudden there's a distraction. It's called, "You're going to meet an Ethiopian eunuch." He's beamed over there, lands in a chariot, witnesses to the guy, explains Isaiah 53 to him, man gets saved. Boom, he goes right back. God interrupted his day. That's okay. Sometimes God interrupts mine and your day, but you've got to have discernment. Discernment for us comes through the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, the Bible says, "Try the spirits, whether they be of God or not." What is going on in your life? You've got to have some discernment. By the way, one of the things Michael Wiggins lacks sometimes is discernment. Don't you hate it when you have four choices and you're trying to decide which one's which? God help me. I always hate that. I've told y'all this story 100 times, but I'll tell it again. Is that whenever I was done in Burnett pastoring, I just knew the Lord was done with me. That's one thing I knew for sure. I knew the Lord was done with me there. And the church was doing great, everything. And that's usually when the Lord's done with me. It's when things are going great. And so I was like, "All right, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to pray about it." So we began to pray about it. And that very week that I said, "Okay, Lord, I know you're done there," I told y'all this story, but I got a phone call from a church that wanted me to candidate over somewhere that way. Then I had a boys' home, girls' home want me to come to be a director of it that way. And then there was a church in Hazlitt that wanted me to come be their associate pastor. Made a bad choice, didn't I? No, I'm just kidding. Man, I told Donnie, I said, "Really?" So one of the first things discernment said is that I knew about the church that was over there, and I knew its history and things like that, and I knew that God wasn't calling me to do that. I felt like God was done with me pastoring for that time. But I did feel that God wanted me to move to the country. I felt His moving on that because it had a pond, turkey, deer, and then it had kids there. You know, they were a side product. But so we were going up there to visit that home, and it was the one where my brother was at too. So I thought, "Man, I get to work with my brother. It'd be great in Missouri." And we went up there. We sat in some of the services. Me and my wife go, "There is no way we could do this. No way." immediately we knew that wasn't God's will for our life. We said, what are we going to do? Well, y'all were having a revival with Brother Bob Smith. So we said, well, let's just swing back by Heritage. That's back when y'all was on the other side over there. I sat down in that pew and I was like, I just began to weep because I knew that's where God wanted me. Guess where I didn't really want to be? I ain't going to tell y'all. But God wanted me there. And that's why things work out the way they do. That's why I've been here 5.5 years, because it was God's will. And by the way, discernment a lot of times is not easy. And in your case, it may be you got 3 job offers. By the way, can I help you real quick how to discern between right jobs and wrong jobs? Will it take me out of Sunday and Wednesday night? Go ahead and check that one off. Will it take me away from my family more than any other job? Scratch that one off. Amen. But a lot of times we try to discern between which one can pay me the most. By the way, rich people aren't always happy people. Amen. I can give you a lot of names. But people that are in God's will are happy people, or have the joy of Christ in their life. It's discernment. Don't get distracted. By the way, I believe a lot of times when God is working, so is Satan. Just as God has those 3 things in front of you saying, you know, I want you to discern between this, which one's which, Satan's going to throw something else in there. You're going to get an offer like you've never had before. Amen. You're going to get that one phone call you've been waiting on all your life, but that phone call says, and I'm just throwing something out here, the job will pay you $250,000 a year, you get free home, free car, but you got to travel 300 days a year. You better be careful with that. I'd rather be home with my mama. Not talking about mama, I'm talking about mama over there. I'd rather be home with my babies, right? My kids, I'd rather be, amen. I'd rather make $12,000 a year and be with them. Now, some of your jobs may take you away and things like that, and it's just part of what you've been a part of for a long time. I'm just saying is that sometimes in life we have choices that we make wrongly because we don't discern them and we get distracted. Sometimes those distractions come in. By the way, sometimes things are going so well in churches and then other churches get in our peripheral vision that we know we shouldn't even attend. Hello? Well, I think I'll try this, you know, or I think I'll try this, I think I'll try that. And you know where you need to be. Hello? Anyway, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody's giving me some ugly looks, so I'll go on. As Pastor says, send him an email. Just kidding. Number 2, determination against detours. You got to have not only discernment against distractions, but also you got to have a determination against detours in life. You got to have determination. Nehemiah had determination. They came to him and said, "Now, Nehemiah, we've gotten together and we've talked about it. Sanballat, Tobiah. By the way, Sanballat, Tobiah had already been by in chapter 2 and said, you know what? You're going to build this wall and a little fox is going to come by and it's going to knock this wall up. It's not even going to work." You know, and so they've already come, and so Nehemiah is on top of the wall, and he's working, and all of a sudden he hears, "Hey, Nehemiah, we need to meet with you. Come on down." And Nehemiah, because not only was he a great discerner, but he was also very determined, because he remembers the burden that God put in his heart in chapter 1 whenever they came and told him that this had been burnt and that it had been torn down, and the burden that was in his heart. God had given him specific direction in his life. And here he is on top of this wall. By the way, I think he was on top of the wall because he says, "I can't come down." I just figured that out myself. But I didn't read a commentary on that. But I just believe he was on top of the wall. I believe he was putting the last little bit of touch on the wall. And I believe that he heard that voice of Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem say, "Hey, why don't you come down? We need to go meet." You ever hear that? You ever hear Satan just say, "Hey, we need to meet about this"? I'm not sure if this is what you need to be doing, because you're making too much of an impact for the cause of Christ. By the way, notice what Nehemiah said in verse 3. He said, "I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing what? A great work." By the way, if you see what you're doing as a great work, you'll be more determined than ever to do that work. Notice what else he says. He says, so that I cannot come down? And then he asks this question, why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? By the way, there are some distractions and detours in life that aren't worth your attention. There are little things in life that we try to... you've met these people. There are people in this life that carry everybody's burden with them. Uh-huh. You're here tonight, I didn't feel it, got quiet. In other words, there are people in life that feed on drama. We call them drama mamas. Right? I mean, they just feed on drama. They never have anything good to say until something bad happens in there. They're the station of information. They're not gossipers. They're just prayer warriors. It's just in a form of a prayer request, right? But there's sometimes people get so distracted by everything in this life. And they're worried about, well, why did Brother Cox do that? Why did Brother Kelly do that? Why did Brother Doyce do that? Man, why? And all of a sudden, we get so distracted and we get detoured in our life. Hello? We get so detoured on our life, and we should be determined to keep pressing on for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, as a preacher of the gospel, if somebody walked in here tonight and said, Mr. Wiggins, would you be the governor of Texas? I would say, oh no. I would not come down from the will of God to step down. By the way, notice that he said, I will not come down. From the work of God to go to man is a step down. And let man distract you and let man detour you from what God already has for you. The last thing tonight, and I'll be done. I love this last one. We see it in verse 16. Next thing you need to do is defy the doubters. Or defy the devil, whichever way you want to put it. But defy the doubters. Notice verse 16. I love verse 16 because in verse 2 it says that, or in verse 1 it says, now it came to pass in Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that we built the wall, that there was no breach. So all the enemies had heard, all of these people had heard. And then in verse 16 it says, and it came to pass when all our enemies heard thereof. What did they hear this time? They finished the wall. That's what verse 15 says. It says, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things. They were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Listen, when you are determined and you make... When you're good at... by the way, there's not a lot of people that have good discernment, but we ought to have good discernment. When you have good discernment, when you have determination, you defy the doubters. How many people in the Christian realms gave up and went on that detour and got fixed on that distraction and they didn't finish the work that they set out to do? And they did... And what happened is that... By the way, there's always people watching me and you. The world's always watching me and you. And the world's greatest day of their life is when you fail and you stay down. By the way, one of the worst days of the world is whenever they see you fall and get up. Amen. Because we all fall. We all need to get up. And there are people in this world that are going, I bet you Heritage Baptist Church won't last another 5 years. And we're still here. By the grace of God, by the way. Not because we're great people, but because He's a great God. But I guarantee you, there's people even in the city limits of Hazlitt that want to see Heritage Baptist Church fall on its face. Can I say something very sad to you? There are other churches that want to see Heritage Baptist Church fail. Because that's how we build churches now. We build churches not by going out and knocking doors and winning people to Christ. We build churches today by taking people from other churches. That's how we do it. That's not how to do it, but that's how it's done a lot in today's society. There are people that are in society that have seen this land go from a roping arena to an auditorium to another auditorium to a gym and a ball field, and they're going, it ain't going to last much longer. But I want to tell you what, every time a soul gets saved, they're defied. Every day that this church is here and there's people pulling in the parking lot, the doubters and the devil, he's defied. Folks, can I say something to you? Your children need to see you be determined. Your grandchildren need to see you being determined. And they need to see that you've got good discernment to know what's right and to know what's wrong in your life. And don't get distracted and don't get detoured in life. Because at the end of the day, it's the doubters who get defied. The enemy will come and he will tempt. Matter of fact, they came five times unto Nehemiah. Five times. You know what happens to me and you whenever our kids come to us five times with the same thing? Oh, good heavens. Yes, just do it. I don't care. None of y'all do that, right? Look, all of you go, okay, we are like that. Our kids know that, don't they? Brody can come to me one time and say, Daddy, can I go over so-and-so's house? I'm like, no. I'm a master of no. He's like, Dad, can I go? No. No. But after a while, I'm like, oh, you ask me again. That's usually what we end up saying. You ask me again, I'm going to take my belt off, and me and you're going to have fellowship. Right? But you know what? The devil knows how to push our buttons, doesn't he? Just keep coming back and tempting us and trying us. And keep coming back and keep coming back until we just get so tired. We say, you know what? It ain't worth it. But can I remind you, it is worth it. Because he's worth it. Not only does he come and tempt, but he comes and taunts. You read chapter 4. Sanballat and Tobiah taunted the Jewish people. That's okay. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says this, and I'm done. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Notice what he said, stand fast in the liberty. Folks, tonight, Satan's going to come. Just as he did in Nehemiah's day, they were doing a great work. Discernment, determination will defy the doubters and the devil every time. You stand and God will stand with you. Maybe tonight you're in that very same story of Nehemiah. Maybe you're trying to do a great work. By the way, I used to tell people this whenever I pastored. People come join the church. Or people get saved, people join church where it may be. I go to them and I'd say, look, now, here's your thought. You're thinking, God's going to take away all my sin. I'm going to live happily ever after. And here's my next thought to them, my next words to them. Don't even think about that. You have an adversary now. Things are not going to go like you think they are. You're going to have to be a fighter. You're going to have to be one who stands in that day of adversity. By the way, your family's not going to fix itself overnight. Your marriage is not going to fix itself overnight. Whatever the situation you're in is not going to fix itself overnight. You've got to give God time. And God will work in your heart and things will begin to work out. But I'm telling you, Satan, when you get saved, are you determined that, hey, we're going to do something for the Lord. He's going to come at you with everything he's got. Last Saturday we played paintball. And so it was going to be the older people, adults, and the seniors against the kids. Well, one thing some of us that was there like to hear is all the teenagers saying, everybody go after Brother Latta. I was on Brother Latta's team, but I almost thought about going after him myself. All that aggression I've had. You know, no. And so we get out there, and I mean, they unleashed on him. It was great because I never got shot. Hallelujah. Brother Latta had a target on him, didn't he? Those youth were after him. But isn't it the same way in the spiritual life? We all have a target on us. And Satan, sometimes when we decide to do something, he just unleashes on us. Well, can I tell you, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He's faithful and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Tonight, maybe you're going through something. Maybe just stay. Just stand. Just stand. When you've done all, stand. Let's stand together. We'll sing hymn 153, I Surrender All Tonight. After we pray, our Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. And thank you, God, for the story of Nehemiah. And God, how they finished their tasks. And God, through the finishing of that task, the enemies were defied. And God, that you were glorified. Father, tonight I pray that you would bless the people here tonight. Maybe there's some folks here tonight that's just attempting to do great things. God, maybe they're just attempting to come to church. And Lord, it just seems like they've been fought on each side. God, just help them. And Lord, put them under your wing and protect them. And God, help them to trust you. And God, we ask you to bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come tonight, the altar's open. Hymn 153.